It has been a blessing to be here already today. I don't know how you feel, but I wonder how much more we can hold and retain. I feel like I just want to thank Brother Dale for placing a groundwork on this message that I have tonight or this afternoon, Raising Teens, and also the message on marriages this morning, the whole weekend, and the encouragement that we have received. Just thank you all for sharing. So this afternoon, the message, Raising Teens, and I ask an interest in your prayers. I feel like this is dear to my heart as I have teens. I have some that are married. But as I think of this topic here this afternoon, I just want us to think a little bit of, as we go back in history and as we think of the family that Jesus grew up. We think of Jesus' parents. We have Joseph and Mary. We realize that they were imperfect parents, but they raised a perfect youth. And you're probably thinking that, yes, that's true. Jesus was perfect, but he's different than our children. He was free from that sinful nature. But we do know that Jesus was tempted just like our children were. He was tempted just like we are today, but he was sinless. What a blessing. But as I think of that, what inspires me more in all of that is that, and it gives me courage as a parent, that we have the same God that qualified Joseph and Mary to raise Jesus to guide us today as we raise our children. Jesus was tempted like our youth, like all our youth. He never sinned, but he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. We see that in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. That means that God can take our faithful, though you would say faltering efforts that we find ourselves as we raise our youth to follow God. And I believe as we face our daily lives, we might feel that it can be faltering efforts. But by God's grace and strength, and as we lean on him for wisdom, we can lead them and direct them. I would like to have you turn to Psalms chapter 78. I find it interesting that this morning and this afternoon, there was several times that we read out of Psalms. I think that's well. Psalm 78, I want to read verse 1 through 8. And as you think of this, as we read this, look at these verses, and as I want to just draw a few thoughts from them to start the message here this afternoon. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and in his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The call, as we think of this, is to pass, as we think of raising families and raising teens here this afternoon, but to pass on or declare the goodness of God, our hope in God, to the next generation. Also to promote the thought of keeping the commandments that God has called us to. And this afternoon, as I think of families and how that is, and as this morning as I sat and listened to the message on marriage, I looked at my own life and I seen where I have failed. And as we sit here this afternoon and as we heard areas that we probably felt like might have stepped on our toes and where we have lacked. And this afternoon, as we think of raising teens, and often we can go back and we look at maybe how our parents were or how they related to us in our teen years. And I like the thought that Brother Dale brought out about, you know, at a young age, we build that relationship with our children, and we trust then as we build that foundation that it'll carry on into the teens. But I think we have teens, and as I realize that younger years, those children, like he brought out, they look up to the father, can do no wrong. But as you start raising teens, they might start questioning, and we want to explain and be the dads that are open and honest with our children. But what I want to bring out here in this thought in verse 8, that if we grew up in a situation where we feel like maybe it was less than ideal, or our parents maybe failed us, you know, there's hope. We can build on that. We can do better. I believe that's what the Bible is calling us to. Through the whole Bible, it's to learn and do better. So if you're here and maybe the situation was negative, and you're a young family or a young father, there's hope. You can do better, and you can learn from mistakes, and let's not focus on the negative so much, but try to do better. And as I think this evening or this afternoon, as I think of of raising our families in the day we are living, I believe the stakes are high. And do we really have the sense and the seriousness of raising teens? And I believe the goal for us here this afternoon, as we think of this group, we're thinking of raising teens that will be faithful in their Christian lives, right? I believe so. That they will continue to be faithful as they move on through life. And as we see them move on in their teens and move on to having families themselves, that they would have what it takes to continue faithful and to be a witness of God's work in their lives and their families, and especially as we live in this world today where there's so much darkness. I believe that is what this passage is talking about here in Psalms. Faithful homes, Christian teens that are respectful of their parents and are following God is a tremendous witness in the day that we live. As you think about that, those that are respectful, and as we have faithful homes, ones that are following God. So as we look at that, and as we think of our homes, our family is with us continually. When we fail, it is often going to be in our home. And because of what brings that about is we're rubbing shoulders, we're interacting with those as family members, and we're relating to them. Do we see here the seriousness and the effects of failures in our homes? And I think of especially as a father, and if I fail, what effect is that going to have? And do I sense the seriousness of it? And another thing is, do I have a vision for the continuing of faith as I relate to my teens, our teens? Question I want to ask myself, I trust that's a question you have, the burden you have. Do we have a vision, as was brought out, for the continuing of the faith of God in the lives of our teens as they move on and face this time of life? And I trust this morning, this afternoon, as we think of this here and we think of our youth, we've all experienced that, but we realize that is a pivotal time of life. And there's probably a lot of you here that have good experiences. You look back in your youth and you think of those times of your youth, your teens, and as you related to your parents, there was good times. But there's probably a possibility, there's always that possibility that there could be youth here that struggled through that time of their teens. They felt like there was something missing in their relationship with their parents. But as I think of relating to and raising teens, I had to think of Samuel and his mother, Hannah. And that is in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 27. I just want to read those verses there, verse 27 and 28. And this was Hannah. It says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him." And verse 28 says, "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. As I think of that verse 28 there, and lent, the attitude that Hannah had of this child is lent to the Lord as long as he or she liveth. That's a very important foundation, I believe, as we relate to our children as they are growing up and they change from teens to older and more mature teens and into their adulthood, that we as parents would have that vision as Hannah to lend them to the Lord. We need to remember that these children, these youth, are a gift from God. And are we raising them using the methods that God hath designed? Are we quick to ask God for wisdom and direction when we face difficult times in our relationship with our teens? Then along with that, as I think of the life of Samuel and how Hannah had taken him to be with Eli, given him to that work there. And we have the time when Samuel, that night when Samuel was feeling that call, and he was thinking that Eli was calling him. And finally, as Eli realized that God was calling Samuel, and then he encouraged Samuel to respond with, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And the challenge to me as I thought of that, are we as parents there to help our teens answer the call of God on their lives? And then to encourage them to respond, to be that servant that the Lord is calling them to be. As I thought of that, the challenge to just to be there and support them. And then, are we the parents that are truly willing, like Hannah, to give her son to the work that God was calling him to? And then also the thought of, or do we have our plans, our ideas of what we think our teens, our youth should be doing with their life, and then maybe discourage them where they wind up missing the call of service, or they miss the true call of God for their lives? I think we as parents do well to consider that. It was a challenge for me as I thought of that and that example in the scripture. As I think of this message here, and I want to have some practical thoughts here this afternoon for relating to teens. And when I was asked and I consented to have this message, I was thinking about a bit what to share, and we are youth sponsors right now, so the one evening we were together with the youth, and I told the youth that I was asked for this, to have this message, and I wanted their input for this message. I asked for prayer most of all, and for them to share, just be willing to share some thoughts for me, or that, just as they felt in their relating or what felt good to them, or maybe some negative things. And I was blessed by, you know, I was challenged here with this message here as we relate to teens, to that we want to use foundational on God's word. But as I received messages from our youth group and others, I felt like they were very foundational. I also reached out to my own children and asked them. And as I really struggled, because as opening myself up, I don't feel like I have done everything right as I related to my teens. But I just wanted to open myself up to them to have their input and their, and I was blessed by the input that I received. So this afternoon here, I would just like to share a bit of some of my practical thoughts as we raise teens. And I trust that you as a group here, as we hear these together, as we apply them, that we could apply them to our lives, and that it could be a blessing to everyone, to the church as a whole, and to the kingdom of God. So the first area here that I thought of for these practical areas, and that is the thought of parents being together on what you stand on. And as a father, and as I think of my wife, I was blessed with a wife that supported me. And I don't think we can really put enough emphasis on the stability that it'll give a youth to see their parents united in a vision. We've talked about vision, a vision and goals for the home, for them. And I realize as I say this that we're not all the same, and you know, we can have parents not always going to think exactly alike. But I believe that youth, our teens, our children don't necessarily need to maybe feel that all the time, that they would feel like there is a unity there. And there is a unity there. There is ultimately unity there, even though maybe there is a few things to work out, like we heard this morning. Not that youth can feel, or teens can feel, that they can just find a parent that would side with them, but that they feel like the father and the mother are together in unity. And really, I believe and am confident that's really what teens and youth want, even though maybe they would take advantage of it if they could. They really want to see stability in their parents. Another area, along with parents being together, is the challenge of parents support the church you are a part of. Along with that, support what it stands for. Find yourself well within its guidelines. And then along with that, teens want to know why sometimes. So when a teen comes to us asking why, we need to be willing to explain. Take the time to explain why our church stands on a certain issue. I don't think we do our favor or do our teens a favor when we just say that this is because our church says we do this, or this is what the church says. I believe it's very important for us to take the time and diligence to explain and answer. And also along with that, how we as parents respect authority, or along with that is how we respect leaders in the church, is largely how youth will respect authority. And that just really is serious. It doesn't take long for our children, and then it comes on up into the teens and youth as they face life. And here's another thought as we think of church and supporting church. If you can't support the church because of of where you find yourself in the church, maybe because of, you could say, drift or other areas you don't feel comfortable with. And for myself, I have a little bit of a testimony in my life as a teen. And the blessing of my parents being willing to take the step without a lot of hurt. But if you don't feel comfortable, well, I believe it's best for the sake of your teens to, especially while you're at that place, to not have a lot of negative, but find a place that you can support. Because our church, our youth, will often be the ones that get discouraged and struggle through a difficult time like that. So let's be supportive of the church we're a part of as long as we can, and if not, make moves to do something different. Number two here, for our parents, and this was alluded to already, I believe, but parents, keep your spiritual fire kindled. The other Sunday, I had a message on keeping our spiritual fires kindled, and an individual, I had announced that I was going to be having this message, and they came to me after church and said that should be one of the points in your message. And that individual had given me the illustration of in the home, that the father was losing out in his spiritual life while the children, some of them were teens, and how that felt, and the discouragement that felt to those teens, and some of them would have struggled through that time, and the importance of a faithful father through those teen years, and faithful mothers, but we're thinking of a father here, but faithful parents. But I believe it takes effort to keep, you know, we can think of the thought of just keeping our spiritual life, our fires kindled. I believe that gives strength to our youth here, our teens, as they face life, you know, to see parents that are on fire for the Lord and are living victorious. Also along with that, I know our youth appreciate when their parents pray for them, or they know they're praying for them as they maybe endeavor on different things, that they know that maybe they leave home and are gone, or wherever they might be at, that they know that at home their parents are praying for them. It means a lot. Number three here, youth is a time of transition. And as we think of that, that's, I believe we all would relate to that. And in all of that, we realize that it's a different time in, as we think of children and then youth. And one of the things I thought of as we think of youth in a time of transition, the thought came out in that we need to earn their respect instead of demanding it. As we think of that as parents, to earn the respect of our youth, our teens. And I think that can start at a young age, but especially as we think of our youth and teens. And with that being said, as we find ourselves and our youth growing older, there can be times that we let our youth make their own decision. And I believe in all of that, I want to be careful as we say this. We like to, I want to encourage this, but we do need youth that prove themselves. But the illustration was brought out to me as, you know, as we as parents, maybe there's a time when we would explain to our youth a situation. We might have a concern about a certain thing, a place they were wanting to go, something they were wanting to do. But in the end, allow them to make that decision, what they will do. We would have maybe given them the concern, but allow them to make that decision, how they will handle it. It gives them a little bit of of responsibility there. And with all that being said, as we see our teens make, you might say it might have been a hard decision as they were faced with that decision, and if they made the right decision, are we willing to compliment them for that, or do we just take it for granted? I believe if we see our teens making choices that are right, that we appreciate, we should be willing to compliment them and encourage them for the right choice. Our teens won't always make the right choice, but I believe in all of that, we as parents need to be careful on how judgmental we are when they make the wrong choice. And I believe with that being said, if we are too judgmental, it might be hard for them to open up with us. But I believe there's a balance in all of that. So another thing that's dear to my heart, and I feel like I probably didn't respond in the right way, but a thought that came to me lately is when our teens fail in their spiritual lives, and they actually are willing and they come to us and open up with their struggles, what's our response when they do that? Are we there to show love and compassion? Are we quickly there to show them love and compassion? Or are we, or the thought of maybe we act shocked? You know, I believe that the thought to be quick to show love and compassion and be careful how judgmental we are, I believe if we could actually hinder them being open if we are too quick to be judgmental. Trusting our youth. And the thought here, as I think of trusting our youth, our success as parents, I believe this could go along with what we've been talking about already, but this is just a thought I come across. Our success as parents is not whether we have modeled young robots, but is when our young people are now making responsible choices. Think about that. That's really the true success as we look at our teens' lives and see how they are making responsible choices. So that's such a blessing. And I believe as we think of that, I was just blessed as I realize how different parents might give different responsibility to their children at different ages. But I believe that is good for us as parents as they get older, that we are willing to give them choices and see them make those responsibly. And as we think of teens, our teenagers, they will not make all their choices or their independent decisions just the way we might have. But does that actually make it wrong? I don't think so. And, you know, we probably didn't do everything just right always as we were growing up. And then also, as I think of, as we relate, and this can kind of come along as we relate to our teens and maybe even work or different areas, maybe it's mothers with their daughters. And, you know, our teens have a sense of wanting to do it maybe their way at times. And as we relate in that way and we see them making choices, it can be good just to say, well, that's a good way. I like that. That's better than I might have done it. Or I like that way of doing it. And actually, as we give them compliments in that way, when it comes time to maybe say that, well, that probably wasn't the right way, I believe it will go down a lot better if we will have been giving them encouragement in some of the past choices and in saying that that was good. Another thing, and this can maybe be more for us as fathers and our ideals for our children, but don't hold our youth to our occupation. Let them try different things. And then, you know, we don't want to see our children make mistakes, but maybe we need to let them make a mistake every once in a while, but not make them feel like they're a failure with that mistake. let's be here to bless them and encourage them in their new endeavors. And I think as we think of our teens maybe leaving, I think of, you know, often the call to go teach school, and our parents, if the parents are there to support and bless them in that endeavor, that's such a blessing. Along with that thought also of, as for us as parents, you know, our children might fail, our teens might fail, but so did we. And I believe it's good for us to be quick to recognize when we have failed, especially as we relate to our teens and children. Be quick to recognize when we have failed and be willing to humbly go to our children and apologize. And these are points, you know, for myself, as I studied this, these are points for me, and I just trust that we can all find them as encouragement. Spend time with our teens. Do things that they enjoy. And these were some thoughts that came from youth. They're asking us as parents to stay young at heart and join in with things that they enjoy doing, playing volleyball, softball. And I had to think as I sat here, you know, it's one thing when it's maybe our oldest children and we as parents are in our 40s, but then when we get to our the younger ones in our families, we can tend to be in our 50s and 60s and tend to play go out and slide around and play volleyball and softball. That gets to be another aspect. But I believe there's a blessing yet, even as we don't want our younger ones in our family to miss out on that, the memories that the older ones experience. So let's stay young at heart and enjoy some of those things together. And maybe just playing table games as a family. And this was a, you know, as, you know, I don't know how you find it, but, you know, we as parents can feel tired. Our youth are full of energy. Teens are full of energy. They want to be doing things. They can work all day and they still want to go do things. But parents can feel tired after a day of work. We'd just like to relax. We would like to read a book or whatever, sit down. But are we willing to lay down our own desires and focus on building relationships with our teens outside of work? You know, we can work with them, but I think there's memories and good memories can be made as we can spend time together and family time together, playing and doing things in that way. And also along with that, the thought of I believe there's a time for maybe some one-on-one with our teens. And as I think of that, that really takes sacrifice. It takes effort because the amount of children or relationships that you do have, it can maybe feel big to take that one-on-one time, but I believe that means a lot. The last one I have here is talk to your teens, and I believe as we think of that, that can be one of the more important ones, and maybe the one that can be the struggle. All youth need to talk to their parents, and as we look at you all this afternoon, and we have the youth in a different group, we might say that for us as parents, I believe it's largely our responsibility to make that relationship happen and to talk with our youth, our teens. I believe there is times that youth will reach out to their parents, but we're talking to parents this afternoon. How do we get our youth to open up is often the question we ask. How do we get that to take place? And, you know, we're all different. Our personalities, you know, us parents are different, and our youth are different. Some of us are more reserved, less communicative. So how do we do that in a good way? And the thought is for us to be very much aware of as parents, just because the youth seems to be doing well, is quiet, doesn't mean there's no problems they are facing in life. You know, often we think, well, if it looks good and things are fine, they're not, maybe that's when we need to be asking them how it's going. That doesn't necessarily mean they aren't struggling with something. And along with that, as we think of helping our teens open up and to talk, it might be good for us as parents to relate maybe some things that we faced in life. Maybe that's one way we can open the door, relate some things that we faced, struggled in life, and struggles that we might have faced as we were in our teens. I would just like to look a little bit here as I think of Abraham and Isaac. And this was brought up about Abraham already. But as I think of that time when Abraham and Isaac, and as they headed up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice, God had asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his son, his beloved son. And as we look at the life of Abraham and as we read that account, we really don't know if Abraham would have been the talkative father or what. We do know that he commanded his children after God. But I just put myself in that situation on that day, and I can imagine as I think of Abraham and the cloud that would have been hanging over Abraham as they were walking along, and how was he going to tell Isaac what God had asked him to do, and that was to sacrifice Isaac. But as we think of that whole account and that whole story, I believe we can see that in that Abraham and Isaac, they had a relationship as a father and son. And, you know, we don't know, but we can imagine that they probably would have been talking, or they did talk in the past, of discussing maybe the things of their herds and, you know, what they had going back then, sheep, pasture, weather, other material things. But as we read that story, we can see that Isaac knew what it took to make a sacrifice. When Abraham said, "We are going to sacrifice," Isaac knew what it took to make a sacrifice, and he was willing to go with Abraham, his father, on that 3-day journey for no other purpose than to sacrifice to the Lord. That was important. He realized it was, and what it took. But I guess this afternoon, as I think of myself as a father, when I think of the parents here today, and as I think of that illustration of Abraham and Isaac and how that ended, do our children today have the confidence in my integrity, our integrity? Do they have a respect for my relationship, our relationship with God, in how they see we relate to God, enough to know that without a doubt who closest to them might have the answer when they have a doubt or a problem, spiritual or otherwise? And are they, like Isaac, willing to blurt out, "Father, where's the offering?" As I think of that illustration and what that can mean for a teen that is struggling with the thought or struggling with an area in their life, if they can just see that, you know, for Abraham that day, it was probably tough to actually open up that conversation, but Isaac felt comfortable to blurt out that hard question. And do we have a relationship with our children that when we give them that hard answer, that they are willing to accept and respect that answer, just as Isaac did to his father? And then as I look at that whole account, and as I think of after this was made known to Isaac, and as they journeyed on and kept going, that I would reckon that there was a time of sharing and a time of communication. And do we today, as we find those opportunities, do we take time to relate to our teens, explain, talk with them, walk with them through those times and difficult times for the parents and the teen possibly. So as I think of that, and for us today, the challenge for myself, trust for all of us, let's be parents that our children know that we have an interest in their lives, that they know without a doubt that we as parents care. And then also, we care about what they might be facing as teens today. So God bless you as you raise your teens for God's glory.